day. Pleasant good morning and greetings once again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Because We Live program. Thanks to our sponsors, the Church of the Nazarene District and the Federal Motor Spirits, for allowing us the privilege to come to you this morning. I'm Reverend Curtin, and I'm going to look at the gates that have been broken or burnt in Jerusalem that Nehemiah had to rebuild. I want to remind you that just as God loved Jerusalem, God loves us, and God wants to rebuild the gates that have been broken down in our life. Let us just listen for a short while to this song by Elevation Ministries, Jireh.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Ooh.
I want you to know that God loved you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. And just as he loved Israel and continue to love Israel to this day, the Bible says that you are the apple of his eye, and he loved you more than anything else in the world. So I want you to understand that even now, God wants to restore every area of your life, everything that has been broken, every gate that has been burned, and every gate that has been destroyed in your life, that God wants to restore it. Turn in the Bible to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 3.
Chapter 2. It was the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. At the hour for serving wine, I brought it in and gave it to the king. I had never been hangdog in his presence before, so he asked me, "Why the long face? You're not sick, are you? Or are you depressed?" That made me all the more agitated. I said, "Long live the king. And why shouldn't I be depressed when the city where all my family is buried, is in ruins, and the city gates have been reduced to cinders?"
When Nehemiah went to the king noticed that he was sad. And he asked the question to Nehemiah, "Why is your face so long? Are you sick or are you depressed?" And the response from Nehemiah was interesting. He asked the question, "Why shouldn't I be depressed when the city where my family is buried is in shambles and in ruin, and the gates have been reduced to cinders, or the gates have been burnt. Why should I not depress? And Nehemiah was depressed because the gates of the city had been burned down. There were no longer any gates to the city. There were no longer any protection from the enemy. The enemy could have come and go as he pleased. And this caused Nehemiah to be depressed. What is causing you this morning to be depressed? Are the situations around you, the things that are happening in our church, causing you to be depressed? Depressed enough that you will want to do something about it. The Bible reminds us that when David saw Goliath in the camp of Israel and he was hauling insult at the God of Israel, and David went up to fight against him, his brothers were concerned and they asked him, "Why are you here? Why are you come to bring trouble in this camp? Why are you here?" And David asked a similar question to Nehemiah. Is there not a cause? Because when he saw what was happening in the camp of Israel, and everyone else seems to be afraid to deal with it, everyone seems to be afraid to go forward and fight for the enemy, everyone seems to accept what is happening as though they have no control, David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason that this thing should anger me enough so that I can get up and do something about it? And you notice what David did. David went and he says, I will fight. Nehemiah decided, I will get up and I will go to Jerusalem and I will rebuild the city. I will replace the gates and the doors that have been destroyed with fire, because he recognized that these gates and these doors are important. And I'm saying to us this morning, there are several doors and gates of the church that have been destroyed. Doors and gates of the church that have been broken. And we have to decide within ourselves that we are going to get up and we are going to rebuild these gates and these doors, so that the devil will not have an entrance, so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, there is resistance, because we know who we are and we know that God is on our side and we are standing strong and we are standing tall in him. But what are some of these gates that we are talking about this morning? What are some of these gates that we need to look at this morning that God wants us to rebuild? Do you see the gates in the scripture represent spiritual disciplines in our own personal life and in the life of our church? Things that cause us to grow spiritually. Things like Bible studies. Things like prayer meetings. Things like meditation. Things like praying and fasting. Worship and fellowshipping one with another. The gates in the Bible are not just doorways to the city, but they are the places where the prophet cried out. They were the places where the king judged the people. It was the place where the people met together for fellowship and to make decision, like in the ancient city of Dan. So the gates of the church today, let us look at them and see if they are being broken down or burned with the enemy's fire. Bible study is important to the church. If the church is going to be revived and going to be restored, we have to get back to the place where we rebuild the doors or the gates of Bible studies. For too long, our Bible studies have been suffering. Yet we say the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yet we say thy word is swift and sharp and powerful, and they are used for instruction, correction, and everything. And we recognize that the word of God will never fail because his promises are his word. But yet so many of us are not devoted enough to study the word. We have studied many things and we are keen on studying many books and reading many novels and so on. But how many of us spend time in reading the word? Spend time in trying to understand what God is saying to us in this season. Spend time with Bible study, helping and encouraging each other to study the word, sharing with each other and revealing the word through revelation to each other. Bible study have been neglected by the church, and we cannot grow and we cannot go forward unless we know what God is saying to us in his word. The Bible says that everything will fail, everything will come to an end, but the word of God will stand forever. The church needs to get back to the word, which is the truth from the Lord. We need to get back to the word where we listen to it and we understand it and we begin to practice it, because we are not just to be hearers of the word, but we ought to be doers of the word. Right now, they're trying to change the word. They're trying to have their own version of the word, the words that will suit them and put things in place that will please them. But the Bible reminds us that the word of the Lord shall stand. And we as Christians need to tie the word within our heart so that we will not sin against God. Many of us are weak because we do not take the time to study the word for ourselves. For some of us, the word on Sunday morning is enough. But it's not going to be enough in these days, because the time will come when there will be a famine for the word of God. And if you do not have the word of God in your heart, you are going to be in trouble. The church needs to rebuild the gates of Bible study, where people are free to come and look at the word, discuss the word, and live by the power of the word. The gates of prayer have been broken. For too long, we have neglected prayer in our churches. We are a church now that have been prayerless. There are no corporate prayer meetings. And when they do have a few corporate prayer meetings, there are very few in attendance. But yet we understand that prayer moved the hand that moved the world. And the Bible asks us to pray without ceasing. He reminds us that as we pray, mountains will be moved. As we pray, valleys will be exalted. As we pray, God will begin to change things in our life. For he is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or even desire. But we have allowed prayer to become a thing that is very hard to do. So we attend everything. We attend concerts, we attend special services, and so on. But we do not attend the meetings that are most important to the development of our Christian maturity and character. Prayer is the key to heaven. Prayer is the key to the change that will happen in your life and in your church. The church needs to get back to prayer. If my people will humble themselves, they will pray and they will seek my face. Understand that seeking the face of the Lord for what is concerning you. He said, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. But the gates of prayer seems to be broken down in the church, and we need to get back to those times when we pray and we seek the face of the Lord. when we hold on again to the horns of the altar and say, I will not let go until you bless me. I will not let go until I see God answer my prayer. I will not let go until change come. I will not let go until healing comes. I will not let go until God open the windows of heaven and begin to pour blessings upon me. We need to rebuild the gates of prayer. We need to rebuild the gates of fasting. We need to pray and we need to fast also. Because some of the things that we want to see in our church will not happen until we fast. For we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy is not going to hold up. The enemy is not going to quit sending darts our way. The enemy is not going to stop trying to destroy our life, our families, our church, our community. And we have to become desperate enough to say to God, God, I am not going to eat until I see transformation. I am not going to eat until I see change in my church. I am not going to eat until you begin to transform us through the power of your word, until I begin to see spiritual growth in my own life and in the life of my church and those around me. I am not going to quit. I am going to pray and I'm going to fast until you move, God. Because some things will not happen until I make the sacrifice to fast for it. Until I have decided, listen, God, this thing is important enough for me. So important enough to me that I'm willing to give up a meal. I'm willing to give up a meal for a day or two or even weeks because I want to see change. How much change do you want? Do you really want to see reformation? Do you really want to see transformation? Do you really want to see restoration in your churches? It will not happen because your enemy is seeking to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he does not want the church to advance. And the only way it is going to advance is if you fight against him. Jesus fought against him at the beginning of ministry by praying and fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came out of his praying and fasting, he was powerful. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, all power is given to me. He says that the anointing of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And we need to get back to that place where we are praying and fasting and receiving the anointing of God in our life to transform our world. We need to get back to the place of fellowship again. It hurts my heart when the church is becoming like the world. I remember times and times going to unsaved and witnessing to them and sharing the gospel of Christ. And one of the things that they will often say, you do not have to go to church to be a Christian. And obviously, I agree with that. But one of the things I constantly say to them, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian because God can transform you and change you any place and anywhere. After all, he did it to Paul on the road to Damascus. And therefore, you don't have to go to church to become a Christian. But when you are a Christian, you're going to find yourself in church because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into the sanctuary so that you can become encouraged and also become an encourager to those around you. The Christians today are saying to me almost the same thing. You don't have to go to church to worship God. This is now coming from Christians. They're staying home and instead of coming together so that they can encourage and strengthen each other, they're saying you don't have to go to church to worship. Of course you don't have to go to church to worship, because God can be worshipped anywhere. The Bible reminds us that he said to the woman at the well, the time is coming and it is coming when the true worshipers shall worship me in spirit and in truth. Worship is a lifestyle, and therefore we can worship God anywhere. But God says, do not stop yourself from gathering together as some are the habit is. Because the purpose of the church is not only to worship God, but it's to strengthen and encourage each other, even as we see the day approaching. But we find that this gate of fellowship where people enter in have been burnt. And a lot of people are blaming the COVID-19 and people being afraid to gather and so on. But the Bible still remains the same on fellowshipping one with another. If you have fellowship with God, you will also have fellowship one with another. The Bible is clear that the church is about the gathering of the saints together to encourage, to strengthen, to edify, so that they can bring each other to that place of spiritual maturity. And if we are neglecting coming together as a church, then we are not doing what we ought to be doing as Christians. And therefore, I challenge us as Christians to come together again, to begin to encourage one another, to speak to each other in songs and psalms and spiritual song, to encourage each other on the journey of our Christian walk. Let them know that we are there for them. Iron sharpens iron. And even though we can worship God anywhere, at any time, we need to be in fellowship one with another. That's the purpose of the church. That's why Jesus created the church. That's why he says, I am building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He built his church so that we can come together and join the fight against the enemy. So we really need to rebuild the walls and the gates of fellowship. We need to rebuild the gates of worship, where we come together again and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, where we worship God from the depths of our hearts. You see, worship is a lifestyle. It is not something that we do on Sunday morning. It is who we are. Paul says, I don't want you to be conformed to this world, but I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for this is our act of worship. God wants us to be renewed in our mind, our concepts of who he is, the eternal God who loved us, who cared for us, the eternal God who will continue to preserve us. And he wants us to understand that our purpose is to worship. For he reminds us in Isaiah 43 that we were created for him and by him for his glory. And therefore we must understand that God wants us to worship him. He doesn't want us to just come and participate in a service. He wants us to become worshipers. And a worshiper does not wait for someone to push him or to motivate him to worship. A worshiper comes into the gates ready to worship. They understand what it means to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. They are not waiting to be pushed or motivated by the worship leader, because they understand that God is all the world to them. They understand that everything that have breath should give praise and thanks to the Almighty. They understand that because they are alive today, there is a reason to give thanks. There's a reason to worship. So even if the service is slow, even if it seems to be a drag service, they are still able to worship, because worship does not come from the external. Worship comes from the heart. And the Spirit of God that dwells in us is a worshiper. And when we come together with the said Spirit and we are connected by the said Spirit, we begin to worship and worship God in spirit and in truth. But the enemy wants to rob us of our worship experience. So in order for him to rob us from our worship experience, he calls us to look at everything around us instead of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He calls all kinds of distractions to happen so that you cannot worship. But I challenge you, let not him burn the gates of worship in your life and in your churches. But let us begin to give thanks to God in everything. Come, let us worship and let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker, for he is worthy to be praised. I want us to arise and rebuild the gates that the enemy has broken down, the gates that he is trying to destroy, the gates of Bible study, the gates of prayer, the gates of fasting, the gates of fellowship, the gates of worship, because these are the gates that will keep the enemy out and cause you to be strong in the power of the Lord and in his might. I challenge you today, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to thank the Church of the Nazarene and Federalism of the Spirit for this opportunity again to bring you the Because He Lives program. God bless you. Have a great day. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because because